To welcome everybody to the Second Court of Appeals, we have one case set this morning for oral argument. I understand that the attorneys are here and have informed our court clerk of how long they wish to argue. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I want to introduce the panel that you have today. To my left is Judge Ruben Gonzalez. He is visiting with us today. He is the judge of the 432nd District Court here in Tarrant County.
Good morning.
And we are happy to have Judge Gonzalez with us. And to my right is Justice Mark Pittman, and I am Justice Elizabeth Kerr. So with that, I will ask the clerk to call the case, please.
The court will now call in the interest of T.A., a child. May it please the court, Mr. Robert Lamb to argue for the appellate, and Ms. Marla Gilchrist to argue for the appellate.
All right. Counsel, you may begin.
May it please the court, Justices, my name is Robert Lamb. Together with Rick Roman, we represent the appellant in this case, who is, referred to as JRA. The appellee, I'm going to refer to as ALC, and then the minor child to the extent we need to refer to.
Counsel, could I ask you, we've got air conditioning behind us, if you could speak up just a tiny bit.
Sure.
Thank you.
And then the minor child, to the extent I need to refer to her, I'll refer to her as TRA. This case has to do with an order that was entered.
$38 in dental insurance.
Yes,
to the child.
For reimbursement each month.
That you think that's a good use of our time?
I do, because it was an error in the judgment that is going to accrue over the course of the life of this child until she's 18. And so I do think that it is something that needs to be addressed.
Didn't the Rule 11 agreement clearly contemplate dental insurance coverage?
The Rule 11 agreement contemplated that there would be a exchange of information to provide dental insurance coverage. It did not cover, though, the fact that my client would be obligated to reimburse for the dental insurance.
How did the judge come up with the $38 if it's not in the record?
It was provided in the order by the appellee's counsel.
Did you object to the order?
There's no evidence.
Did you object to the order?
No, we
did. Did you file a motion for a new trial?
No, we did not.
Did you file a motion nunc pro tunc to correct the judgment?
No.
You decided to appeal it to us?
Yes.
Over $38 a month?
Yes. Yes.
Right. You think that's keeping with the Texas Lawyer's Creed?
I do.
Tell me why.
Because this is an error that was discovered after the time period for us to file a motion for a new trial. We filed a motion to extend the time to file the appellant's brief. It was an error that was not discovered by us because it was something that we were told by the opposing counsel that this was part of the Rule 11 agreement and discovered that it was not. And so from the standpoint of the error in this judgment,
that you discovered that what, the $38 was not a part of the Rule 11 agreement, and you thought it was?
It was represented to us in a draft of the final order that provision was part of the Rule 11 agreement.
The provision to provide for dental insurance was part of the Rule 11 agreement?
That was what was represented to us by opposing counsel when the draft was sent to us with that provision in it. And
I'm not sure I follow you. So you're... Are you conceding that you did agree to have your client pay for some form of dental insurance?
No. What I'm saying is that there was an exchange of the order with opposing counsel when it was prepared, and that order, when it was exchanged, was provided to us with the representation that the addition of this provision was part of the Rule 11 agreement in opposing counsel mind. We relied on that. We did not go and look at the record and check. We relied on the representation and discovered afterwards that was not correct. And that's why we've appealed it, is because it was not part of the Rule 11 agreement. It was not part of the evidence at trial with respect to the issue that the trial court judge was asked to hear. And the judgment itself is not an agreed judgment, even though it was approved as to form.
Well, at what point does that become the responsibility of the attorney representing the father in this case to review the orders before he agrees to form or submits them to the court?
Well, I would agree to you that we did have an obligation, and Mr. Roman and I did not. We just missed it with respect to looking at that and realizing that there was something that had been inserted into the order that shouldn't have been in there.
Are you familiar with the doctrine of de minimis non curat lex?
No.
Okay, what that doctrine is when we have a de minimis effect, de minimis division of property in a family court decision. Under that doctrine, the law does not care for or take notice of very small or trifling matters. And that's been applied in several family court cases when it comes to division of property. How come that doctrine doesn't apply in this case?
Because I think this particular order and this provision, when you look at the length of time that this obligation will be in place, it constitutes a harm to my client and an error that needs to be corrected.
Doesn't the Texas Family Code contemplate that public policy supports giving a child dental insurance if such is available?
It does, and the child has dental insurance through my client. There's no need for my client to have to reimburse the appellee for this. So from that standpoint, I think that you know, this provision actually causes my client harm because my client is not only carrying that dental insurance, but my client is also reimbursing for additional dental insurance that he should not be obligated to reimburse for.
All right, the next question. Can we reverse and render, or do we have to reverse and remand back to have the trial judge consider this?
I think that it can be a reversal and a rendering.
Tell me why.
Because there is no evidence that supports the judgment as it's drafted. And with respect to the Rule 11 agreement, it doesn't cover this. It wasn't an agreed judgment, and there is no evidence in the trial court record from the trial that would support this judgment. There was no request of the trial court at the trial with respect to the issues that were tried for this to be tried by the court. So from the standpoint of reversing, I think that it does need to be a reversal and rendering. If in the interest of justice the court decides otherwise, then alternatively we would ask for a reversal and remand. But I do believe that it should be a reversal and rendering, that this provision should not be part of the final judgment.
Thank you, counsel.
When does the child turn 18?
The child will turn 18 in my math here. I believe it's going to be in 2030. 2030 or 2029. So there's approximately an additional 11 to 12 years.
Okay. So maybe $5,000 or $6,000 total.
I would say that it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 6 or 7. And that's assuming that the cost remains the same and there's not a fluctuation in the cost, which is typically what happens each year when health insurance renews.
So this 37-37 is based on, on what exactly?
It's not based on any evidence. It's not based on anything in the Rule 11 agreement. It's not based on anything other than the fact that it was inserted into the final order.
So your client doesn't have, like, some supplemental dental policy that he's been provided to show that this is, like, a premium cost or something like that? I mean, what... We just don't know.
No, this is supposedly the cost that the appellee, that ALC, is paying currently for the dental insurance.
Even though your client has provided dental
that's
insurance.
That's correct.
Okay. I mean, I understand that divorce cases, particularly this one, from what we do have on the record, was very acrimonious. But as lawyers, we continue to have an obligation under the Texas Lawyers Creed and instruction in cases like the Dondi Properties case, if you're admitted to the Northern District of Texas, you're probably familiar with, to try to communicate with opposing counsel and to try to minimize conflicts as much as possible.
That's correct.
And we're here on $37 a month that somehow made its way into a judgment.
Well, I want to point out something, and that is in the docketing statement that we filed, we put in a request that we thought this case was appropriate for mediation. The appellee filed a motion to be relieved from that obligation, saying that they did not believe that that was appropriate for this case.
I mean, it's surprising to me, and this comes from my experience as a trial judge and as a lawyer now in the Court of Appeals, but you can go a long way if we just pick up the phone and talk to opposing counsel. And one of the things that frustrates me is look at all these people in this room. Look at all the amount of time and energy that's being spent on this appeal.
Right.
Can you understand my frustration?
I do. I understand what you're saying, but I do think that this was and is an important issue for my client, and I recognize that it is taking the court's time to address this issue. But I think, nonetheless, that it is something that needs to be addressed.
Do you think that your client, I mean, I understand your position that just sort of as a broad brush matter, there's no evidence in the record to support 37 or any other figure.
Right.
I mean, if the judgment had said $5.62, would we still be here?
I don't know the
I mean, the principle's the same.
Right. I don't know the answer to that. You know, it's certainly something that would have to be considered, but from the standpoint of where we are with the 37-37, I do believe that that is something that is a harm to my client and needs to be addressed. Evidence at trial, the agreement that, or the provision that is in the record with respect to the 37-37, not only is there no evidence with respect to that, there wasn't any evidence with respect to the reimbursement and the date, specifically the June 1st, 2016 date. So from that standpoint, I don't think the court can imply something that is not part of the Rule 11 agreement. I think the court has to go off of what the parties agreed to on the record. And if you look at that record with respect to the Rule 11 agreement, as well as the trial court evidence on the issue that was tried, there's not evidence, there's not an agreement that would support the reimbursement of the $37.37 a month going back to June 1st.
Well, I think that's why I asked you about remand versus render, because clearly the Rule 11 agreement contemplates the award and consideration of whether dental insurance should be reimbursed or looked at or paid for. You'll agree with that, won't you?
No, I wouldn't agree that it contemplates the reimbursement or the payment by my client. I think that it contemplates that there would be dental insurance for the child.
That someone was going to pay for it.
That's correct. And there would be an exchange of information to address that.
And specifically, you're referring to this language. We don't have the actual Rule 11 agreement. We just have what was read into the record. He, JRA, has agreed to provide his insurance information to Mrs. C so that they can review the coverages and, if it's available, add dental and vision coverage for the child, because currently there's just medical coverage in place.
Right, and that actually is the Rule 11 agreement. There was nothing reduced to writing as far as the Rule 11 agreement. It was a Rule 11 agreement that was based on what was put on the record.
Well, so this suggests to me that that your client was not paying dental coverage at the time of this Rule 11 agreement.
Well, that was the assumption. That was not actually what was occurring, in fact.
It would also seem to suggest that, based on the sentence I just read, that the child was not receiving any dental coverage at the time. Isn't that correct? At least based on the sentence that I just read. Was that statement not correct?
That there was no dental insurance
correct.
At the time? That statement was not correct. There actually was dental insurance.
Okay, did you stand up and object when Ms. Pittman read what her understanding of the Rule 11 agreement was into the record and said that there was no dental coverage in place?
No, I did not, because my client at that time had not made us aware that there was dental coverage. He did not realize that he had had dental coverage going back to June of 2016. It was only during the next enrollment period when he discovered
that. I thought you said that your understanding was the child was currently covered under mom's dental insurance.
That is the case.
And that was not known by the father at the time?
He was not aware of that and did not make that known to us until afterwards. With respect to the language on the transcript, I think clearly it does contemplate that there would be an exchange of information so that there could be a determination made as to who had available dental insurance and get the child on dental insurance. But I don't think that can be extrapolated and constitutes an agreement to reimburse.
Your time's up. Thank you very much. Ms. Gilchrist.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. First, I'd like to say to the court, on the part of appellee, we meant no disrespect by not filing a brief in response. The finances, as you have pointed out this morning, simply on my client's part, to be frank, it was less money for her to pay me to respond when we felt like it was a very minute issue than it was.
Well, counsel, that also goes two ways, because you also objected to going to mediation.
Your Honor, in this case, we have had significant issues with communication, which is obvious if you look at the time when we had the final hearing to the date that we were finally able to get a final order entered. Almost 2 years passed, and so there have always been significant issues with communication, and we did believe again that the finances of trying to attend mediation weren't going to be helpful, despite the fact that Dad was agreed in open court to provide information so that we could work this issue out. No information was ever provided.
How did we get to the $37?
And that was provided to opposing counsel as well. It's actually the actual monthly cost that my client pays in order to...
Did that get in the record somewhere?
It was not a part of the record. We never had another hearing. We exchanged information between parties eventually. We multiple times provided copies of the actual cost of the dental insurance to the opposing counsel. That my opposing counsel has asserted that there was somehow some sort of misrepresentation and that I slipped something into a final order is offensive. They have represented Father the entire time. They were in court when the agreement was read into the record. Multiple copies of a final order were sent. There were never any, there was a little bit of back and forth, but I gave them copies of the amount of the dental insurance and told them I was including it because we never received something from his client.
Well, would you agree that the child doesn't need to be double covered on dental?
And had we known that, that would not have been an issue. However,
but if Father's covering her now and has been since, what, June of 2016, I mean, can Mom drop dental coverage that she's paying for and not need this reimbursement?
In a perfect world, that would be great. However, Dad's employment has not always been steady, and in order to ensure that the daughter is covered by dental insurance, at this point, Mom would prefer to carry it because that way she can ensure that the coverage is there. We believe that, you know, as you pointed out, that public policy and, in fact, recent changes to the Texas Family Code required there be dental coverage in place. and we just can't rely on the fact that Dad's going to do that. The only other comment that I would have is if the court is inclined to reverse, we believe that reverse and rendered would be more effective for judicial economy, because this is a minor child and the family court always has jurisdiction until she emancipates. That if there was a reverse and sorry, we are requesting, if you are to reverse, a reverse and remand, because a render, either party could come back to the family court and seek to revise it. And if it's something that this particular judge that has jurisdiction over this child needs to review, then it can be reviewed at that time on a render. I really don't have anything else unless there are any additional questions.
Well, I'd like to remind you too, and I've directed a lot of this question at your opposing counsel, but you also have a duty under the Texas Lawyers Creed to communicate with opposing counsel, to make efforts to settle trivial matters, to try to compromise where you can. I think it would do both sides well to go and read the Dondi decision that the Northern District of Texas issued in 1988. It's 121 Federal Rules Decision 284. And it talks about a lot of our duties as a lawyer. And those duties extend not only to our client, but to the court, to the legal system as a whole. And as I was hearing the argument today, I was reminded, and I'm going to paraphrase here, something that Abraham Lincoln told young lawyers in the late 1850s. What he told the young lawyers is that oftentimes a lawyer's duty is to discourage litigation and encourage settlement and communication, because oftentimes the winner of a lawsuit may actually be the loser in terms of time and money and effort and wasted resources. And that quote just kept going through my head during the time I was both reading the briefs and hearing the argument today. But as lawyers, when we take an oath to be a member of the bar, we not only owe a duty to our client, but we owe a duty to the bar as the whole, to the public, to the taxpayers that pay for us all to be here, to have this place that we can come and hear disputes, that pay our salaries as judges and as staff of the court. Communication goes a long way. And I understand that litigants can be acrimonious, particularly in family court situations, but at the end of the day, you have to talk. Thank you.
I just want to address one thing that the Appellee's counsel said, and that is with respect to the provision and the fact that it was inserted. There was an email that was sent to us representing when that it was inserted, that the provision was inserted because it was part of the October 2015 Rule 11 agreement. So we did get something from the opposing attorney that provided a statement that we relied on. Should we have not have done that? In hindsight, that's correct. So I think that I just need to clarify that.
If Mother's concern is that your client's employment history is not so stable that continued dental insurance can be assumed, can your client drop dental coverage and just reimburse Mother for the $37 a month?
Sure, but I disagree with the statement that my client's employment history has been unstable.
Well, at the end of the day, though, we have the Texas Family Code.
Right.
We have public policy for minor children in divorce cases that they need dental insurance coverage if it's available. So at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to pay for it. As long as it's getting, she's covered. Why does it matter if your client's reimbursing or not?
Well, I think it has to do with the extent of the coverage and the cost. From the standpoint of my client has been providing that coverage. He actually has a very stable job and has had a very stable job for approximately the last 2 years. He was going to school and is now a surgical technician at Presbyterian Hospital in Plano. So he has that coverage available to him and has been providing it and would like to continue providing.
Do we know if the coverages are identical? Is one better than the other?
At this point, no. We have not had a chance to compare the coverage, although I've looked at the coverage that my client has, and it seems to be a very good coverage that's provided through the hospital system.
You know, I used to, listening to Judge Pittman, and I'm not suggesting this, but I used to clerk for a federal district judge, and I remember one time there was a lawsuit going on, and the judge, at the end of the day, dismissed the jury and ordered the bailiff to lock the courtroom doors with the lawyers inside and not let them out until they resolved their difference. I'm not suggesting that necessarily, but it sure would be nice if y'all could talk when we finish this and come to a resolution and let us know before we render an opinion.
I mean, 10 minutes of communication can go a long way. And we live in a world where it's easy to communicate via text and email. But we have duties under the Texas Lawyers Creed. When you stand up and you take that oath, that you got to follow them.
Right.
And you're at the Second Court of Appeals on this case. I just want that to sink in.
Right. No, I understand that.
Counsel, I have a question.
Yes.
The amount that we're discussing here over the lifetime or the span of the child before emancipation, what are we discussing?
I think I had responded to Justice Kerr. I believe it's somewhere in the neighborhood. It would end up being about $6,000 to $7,000 total.
Now.
And that's assuming that the 3737 stays.
All right. Now, considering that what I've heard in your opposing counsel, the tenor of the questions that have been posed by the judges here, justices, I should say, the expenditure of the time and focus and effort could be well used in other ways. It seems to be just simply acrimonious discussion that's not taking place or that has taken place in the past. I think that everybody is being understood about what that's being said in here and not said. This would be used elsewhere in a better way, I think.
I understand. Thank you.
All right, any other questions? Okay. Thank you, counsel. Your case is submitted, and we would look forward to hearing something good. Thank
and
you.
I do think it would be very helpful if you all stayed for 10 minutes and just visited. I bet it could go a long way. In fact, I'll go get you a cup of coffee if you all would like one.
Thank you. We're adjourned.
All right. The Honorable Court of Appeals for the Second District of Texas now stands adjourned.